Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Pile Driver Podcast. I am your host, Eric Vasquez, the editor-in-chief of thewrestlingchronicle.com. That is the website that brings you this podcast. And I'm here after another wonderful pay-per-view that we saw last night, and that's why we're here today. I'm going to be going over the Royal Rumble pay-per-view from last night, 2017. But before we get into that, I just want to give a quick thank you to everyone who listened to the latest Pile Driver podcast that was recapping NXT TakeOver San Antonio from this Saturday. Again, I want to thank everyone for giving me their feedback, thanking me for putting out another episode, which I didn't know you guys really were in the mood to listen to. But again, thank you for everyone who passed that along, shared it with everyone, things like that. I really appreciate it. So I came back today with another episode. That means two podcast episodes back to back. As I pick up my notes from the floor. So thank you guys for tuning into this episode. If you're a new listener, I hope you go back and enjoy the NXT TakeOver episode so you can kind of get a gist of the way this show kind of runs. Very simple. I tried to condense it down to an hour for you guys so that way it's an easy listen. And I'm pretty sure that you'll be listening to other podcasts and things of that nature. So it's not nice to listen to me ramble on for like another 3 hours or so. Excuse me. So with that said, like I said, we're going to get right into the show today. Today we're going to be talking about the 2017 Royal Rumble, which took place, today's Monday, so it took place last night live on the WWE Network, which you can get for $9.99, obviously. And it was a overall great show. I'll get into it overall what I thought, but I figured let's just go run down the list. And the show started, for those that, you know, watched the kickoff show, and are looking for recaps for the kickoff show, I apologize. I wasn't able to really sit down and give it a watch. I had some friends over, and that was about the time that everybody started filing in, and we had some beverages. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to give my full attention to the pre-show matches. However, we do know that because of the pre-show matches, rather, we do have new Raw Tag Team Champions in Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson of the Club, Bullet Club, whatever you want to call it. Those guys finally get the gold from Cesaro and Sheamus, and they are the new Raw Tag Team Champions. Now, there was a little bit of a controversy where Sheamus inadvertently broke-kicked the referee, and the other referee had to come in and make the three count because, again, apparently, this was a match that needed two referees. I didn't watch the full match, so I don't know the gist of it. But I was thinking, why shouldn't they just amend the rule book that says if a second referee has to fill in for the original referee because the original referee is taken down in the match or whatever, shouldn't the second referee have the final say? So that's an easy way to fix that issue. I don't know why we had to have two referees. But yeah, that's what happened. But congratulations again to Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson. They are the new Raw Tag Team Champions. We also saw Nia Jax apparently defeat Sasha Banks. I didn't see the match, but apparently it was a pretty decisive win for Nia. So interesting to see where they're going with Sasha Banks, who at one time was one of the hottest performers on the roster, and now she's just kind of thrown off to the side. So it's interesting to see if they will be doing anything with that further tonight on Raw. And there was another match, I believe it was the six-woman tag match for the SmackDown women, and which saw Naomi get the pin on Alexa Bliss, who is the current SmackDown Live Women's Champion. Very interesting and well-deserving. Hopefully this means that Naomi will be given a little bit of time to shine on the main roster because she is very athletic and she is very entertaining in the ring. So now, to get to the main portion of the show, the main roster show, it kicked off for the Raw Women's Championship match, rather, between Charlotte defending her title against Bayley. Now, the match started off great, in my opinion, with Charlotte dominating the match. She was kind of giving Bayley a run for her money, almost, and Bayley had to do a lot of fighting from underneath. But again, Charlotte pretty much dominated most of the match. There was a lot of drama with Charlotte putting on the figure four and bridging into the figure eight. Bailey was able to reverse it for a second, and then Charlotte went back on the offense and was able to turn it into the figure eight. However, Bailey did not submit at that point. Now, what I did not like about the match was the ending. The way it went down was the action kind of spilt outside almost, and both women were on the apron. Bailey was a little dazed, and from behind, Charlotte hits Natural Selection, with the impact being on the ringside apron. Now, that was fine. That would have been a great finish. However, there was no build-up to the finish. There was no suspense. Maybe a little bit more back and forth. A little bit of time for Bailey to shine to kind of make the crowd believe that she actually had a chance in this match. So, I don't know if this was done intentionally, but it is kind of something that we do see a lot as of late with the women, both on NXT. It's the same way with almost the Asuka matches. It's just like, you're watching the match, everything goes, and then boom, it's the finish, and then Charlotte wins the, or Charlotte retains the Raw Women's Championship. Now, that's all great, because from a storyline aspect, to really have Charlotte's current record of being 16-0 on pay-per-views, that's a really nice piece to the puzzle to make up her story right now, that she's a very dominant performer on a pay-per-view level. That's great. I like that. It's very interesting, something different. But again, it was just the match itself was just weird to me because of the simple fact that that whole finish to where Charlotte hits Natural Selection outside on the ring apron, rolls Bailey in, 1, 2, 3. Again, other than that, the match was going great. So if it was a little bit longer, who knows how good it could have been. But unfortunately, because of the sudden abrupt finish, I was only able to give it 1.5 flame emojis. Now, according to you guys who watched the show, this currently stands at 13 votes. And here is the rundown. 15% gave the match 4 flames. 38%, which is the most, gave it 3. 31% went to 2 flames. And 16% said it deserved 1 flame. So there you have it. Charlotte retains over Bayley to start the 2017 Royal Rumble. Second up on the match was Kevin Owens defending the WWE Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. And this one saw Kevin Owens' best friend, the United States champion, Chris Jericho, suspended above the ring inside of a shark cage. Now, I was very, very surprised that this match went on second in the card. I'm sure it had a good reason. If you are, if you have friends that are, you know, who study the whole psychology and booking psychology of professional wrestling, maybe they could spin it for you. But for me, it was just kind of weird to see that match go second on the card, especially because the build-up to it was not all that bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't anything that made you go, man, I don't really care for that match. It was actually the way they planned it out and the way they mapped it out over the weeks was pretty interesting to me. So I was actually looking forward to this match. Again, it just caught me off guard that the match went on second. But the match was great from a no disqualification standpoint. There were a lot of fun spots in the match. There was a great spot where Kevin Owens did a frog splash off the top to the outside, taking out Roman Reigns, who was laying on a table. It was visually appealing to see that spot. Made the crowd give it a holy shit chant, which everybody loves. And there was also another spot of carnage. Kevin Owens kind of set up what I like to call a Christmas tree of steel chairs on the outside in the corner. And it was kind of built up like an erector set. It was about, I'd say, maybe 10 chairs. And they were all kind of splished together into a pyramid, keeping it stand up. Now, there was some action in that corner, and Roman Reigns was able to fight off Kevin Owens, sending him crashing into those steel chairs. Another great visual spot for that match. It was a great match as well, and it was a great match for me because the match itself really was a great sort of example. If you need to make the point that Roman Reigns has definitely improved in the ring, this is a great match to show that and to prove that point, because he's able to put matches together. You can kind of see he's working to say, this will work here, this will work there. It's not all power and strike base. He added a nice little sit-out power bomb in the match, and you know, everything was kind of clicking. Of course, Kevin Owens put on a great performance because Kevin Owens is great. You rarely get a bad match out of Kevin Owens, so there was no gripe on his performance. But to me, what really stood out was Roman Reigns, and the fact that his performance really shows that, yes, Roman Reigns has improved in the match and definitely deserves to get put in more of a spotlight. Very interesting, especially when I get later on into the show and recapping the rest of the Royal Rumble. Again, a great match. We saw Jericho wasn't really much of a factor. However, he did pass off a pair of brass knuckles to Kevin Owens during the match, but those weren't of any effect. The ending came with Braun Strowman, of all people, coming out of nowhere, coming from the crowd, and absolutely decimating Roman Reigns, sending him a power slam, a running power slam, into a table that was set up in the corner. Kevin Owens gets basically his limp, dead body over, gets the three count, and retains the Universal Championship. I am a big fan of that decision. I think that Kevin Owens' run as champion really helped the Universal title in a way, because it still is a title that is kind of brand new, and maybe a lot of people aren't taking it seriously as a world title. So I feel like having a guy like Kevin Owens, who literally has luck on his side, where he's able to constantly, you know, have the Universal title, keep it around his waist, you know, is very interesting. Probably what they would have done with Finn Balor hadn't he gone down with injury. But again, I think it was a good call to have Kevin Owens retain the title. For me, the match was great. I give it 3 flame emojis. So let's go to the Twitter polls. Out of 28 votes, which you still have time to vote on the Twitter poll, I'll pass along the link to you at the end of the show. But if you follow me on Twitter, you still have time to go listen to it. I don't know at what point you will listen to the show. But with basically a little less than 5 hours left in the polling, looks like it breaks down this way. 43% of you gave it 4 flame emojis, 36% gave it 3, 11% gave it 2, and 10% gave it 1. Definitely can't have any gripe with that polling. I would have gave it 3, but it definitely, if you thought it deserved 4, you're probably correct in that aspect as well. Alright, so let's move on to the next part of the show. The next part of the show was the Cruiserweight title match between Rich Swann defending the title against Neville. If you kept up with like my recaps and on Raw and like 205 Live, you will know that I'm a big fan of this run by Neville, where he is a heel. Some people call it Dark Neville, Evil Neville. I love it, regardless of what it is. I really feel like it has given Neville a character. You know, because sometimes if you don't have something, like I said in about Ty Dillinger on the NXT recap, you have to have something really, if you really, really, really want to make an impact, you have to have not only, you know, the physical performance side of it, but you also, you know, the character base, something to connect with the audience, whether they like you or they don't like you. With Neville, and now that he's this bad guy, he has something that the crowd can kind of gravitate to. His anger, his the chip on his shoulder that he has for the WWE universe, as they say. You know, and the fact that he feels like they were just making fun of him and using him as somebody to go ooh and ah with, you know, that really adds to the character and makes it, you want to see Neville and how this progresses. As far as the match, this is what I have in my notes. It was nothing too crazy. I'm a huge fan of Neville doing more ground and pound offense and staying away from the aerial stuff. Not that he doesn't do any of the aerial stuff, but he doesn't do it as much. And here's why. You can't make the crowd hate you if everything you do leaves them in awe. You know, Neville is one of the greatest high flyers that professional wrestling has ever produced. You know, he can do some really crazy stuff, but the whole idea is if you see a guy that you're supposed to hate because he says all these mean things, he does these things like attack people from behind and is just rude and condescending and arrogant and believes that he's supposed to be the king of the cruiserweight division, obviously that's a guy you're supposed to hate. But how can you hate a guy that you go, every time you see him perform, you're like, wow, what a performance. Like, this guy is amazing. No, you want to hate the guy, and, you know, nobody really goes wow over a wrist lock or a headlock, obviously. And so Neville has implemented more of a ground and pound base that kind of can play up to his character. And this is no disrespect to Swan, because as we saw, if you watched the match, if you didn't, the way it played out was Neville locked on that little submission that he does, which is almost like a... like an escape, like a Gargano escape, but he extends the other arm around the head, so to give it a little bit of extra torque. And so Rich Swann tapped out in submission, and Neville is now exactly what he said he was going to be, what he already thought he was, which is the king of the cruiserweights. He is the new cruiserweight champion. And I can honestly say that I'm not disappointed. Like, I get the decision. I think it's a great decision to have Neville be the champion because of the simple fact that he's given people something to talk about. Obviously, everyone is really interested in this new character direction, but it's no slouch against Rich Swann. I think he did a lot to kind of help elevate the division a little bit more than it was going with TJ Perkins or Brian Kendrick, so he kind of gave it a little bit something for people to tune into. He was a pretty good champion. He had a lot of great matches, but I feel like Neville, this is the perfect time, and I feel like Neville's going to take, you know, the division to a new level. For me, the match, like I said, the match itself wasn't anything to go crazy over, so I gave it 2 flame emojis. Let's see what the Twitter poll had to say here as I unlock my phone. No one gave it 4 flame emoji. 47% said 3, 37% said 2 flames, and 16% said 1 flame, and that was out of 19 votes. So now let's go on to the next match. The next match, as I said, this is the Royal Rumble. The card's a little weird, almost. You kind of watch these things and you don't realize, you're like, man, they're really spitting these things out in rapid fire. But obviously, with the Royal Rumble, you got 30 guys coming out every 2 minutes. So obviously, they got to be careful with time. So we come to the point where it's John Cena taking on AJ Styles, who will be defending the WWE Championship. We all know about the buildup. If you've been keeping up with the product, AJ Styles obviously thinks he's better than John Cena, as you should think that. Not saying he is or isn't, but obviously, you know, you don't want to admit another person's better than you. So AJ Styles says he's better than John Cena. He has a legitimate gripe because he does have a John's number. He has beaten him 3 times, and he's the WWE champion. He's been so since Backlash. He's taken on all comers, and he's been a fantastic champion. I'm really interested. I thought it was interesting to have AJ Styles, who came to the WWE with a lot of fanfare. Obviously, everyone wanted to see him in the WWE, which they did, and WWE took a chance and gave him the title, and so far, it has worked out great. As far as the match, obviously, it was a great match. Definitely, up to this point, one of the best matches WWE has produced in this very, very young year. But again, as far as AJ Styles, John Cena, a lot of people said it was a great match. Someone in particular, MLJ, who's been a former co-host of this show and is the voice of the indies, doing ring announcing and commentary for CZW, AIW, things of that nature. He said it was the best match he's ever seen live. And I don't discredit him. You know, he has a lot of he has a wealth of knowledge, and he's seen a lot of professional wrestling, so he knows what a good match is and what a good match isn't. I definitely thought it was a great match, definitely worthy of 4 flames. And it was just one of those matches that'll definitely go down this year as one of the best WWE has produced. And I thought the finish was very interesting. Now, here's the thing about the match that I thought was interesting as well. John Cena and AJ Styles went out there and they didn't do a lot of things that were out of the ordinary that you would see from a John Cena AJ Styles match. It wasn't anything that you know was like blown away, like, wow, never seen any of those guys do that before or anything like that. It was a pretty standard match, but you know, being that these guys are veterans, they are a veteran when it comes to professional wrestling, they can go out there and have this pretty basic match and you're still like, wow, this is a very, very good match. And that's what it was. It was a very, very good match. It was hard-hitting. And I particularly liked the aggressiveness of John Cena when he was having a tough time putting AJ away. You could see he was getting frustrated. You could see he was getting angry, which is something different that we don't usually get from John Cena unless you push his buttons. You know, but like I said, he was very defiant, feisty almost when AJ would kick out. He did break out some interesting things, like he broke out a Code Red, which was done to perfection. AJ Styles was able to break out the Styles Clash, which was great setup. And now for the finish, this is how it went down. He catches AJ Styles with an attitude adjustment in AA, and instead of going for the cover again, he rolls through, still holding onto his wrist and still holding onto his inner leg. So when he rolled through, he was able to put AJ right back up on his shoulders and drop him for another AA. I believe this was maybe the third or fourth one that he had to use in the match, and he ended up getting the three count. So what does that mean? That means that John Cena is now a 16-time WWE champion. Wow, that is incredible to be able to do that feat. There's a lot of debate, I guess you could say, going on between wrestling historians as to who has the most championships. Obviously, it's a big thing because WWE believes that record belongs to Ric Flair. I'm not saying it does or doesn't. There's obviously, you know, different lineages of world championships and things of that nature, but in either way, you know, to be a 16-time world champion is something very special. And the thing is, if you're outraged about the fact that John Cena is WWE champion once again and for the 16th time, let me look at my notes so I could, I had it written down the best way I would want to word it. I asked, should there be outrage over him winning the title 16 times? And I asked this because we all know it was going to happen eventually, not to mention the bulk of Cena's work from the time that he was doing the United States Championship Open Invitation Challenge on Raw. You know, from that time up until now, he's been on another level as far as a performer in the ring to even change the minds of a lot of Cena critics, Cena haters, to say, man, this guy finally deserves the credit that, you know, other people have been giving him because he does work hard and just his performance and his game inside of the ring has stepped up on another level. And again, you all knew this was going to happen anyway. There wasn't like some big question mark that said, will John Cena ever win the title again for the 16th time? It was more so, okay, when are they going to give the title to Cena? And again, too, if you think about it, he and AJ did have a ton of matches, and AJ Styles went 3-0 against John Cena. And that was in his first year as a WWE competitor. That's a fact that, you know, AJ can take home that will chalk up another big thing in a Hall of Fame career. So it's not like this loss really is going to hurt AJ, you know, as a performer, as a status in the WWE. We all know he'll probably do something. He'll probably be a multi-time champion in the WWE going forward. It's just a matter that this is WrestleMania season. AJ Styles has a lot of questions. We may see something different from AJ Styles going into WrestleMania that we've never seen before. But again, on John Cena's aspect, he's basically done everything in the WWE. There's rumors, again, I don't really talk about rumors because when you talk about wrestling rumors, if something doesn't go right, it's automatically your fault. But there's a lot of rumors and going around of who John Cena is going to face at WrestleMania, and will it be for anything like a title? So maybe this is a way to see something big happen for John Cena at WrestleMania 33. And another thing too, being that it's Royal Rumble and one of the big four pay-per-views, we usually see a lot of debuts and call-ups either the day of the pay-per-view on the actual event, or the next day on Raw, or the next SmackDown. So who's to say that's not the plan for tonight? I haven't looked at any previews or, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff for tonight's Raw, so who knows? You know, or rather for SmackDown, since John Cena's on SmackDown. So give it a couple of days. Maybe there's a big plan ahead for John Cena. But again, congratulations for being the 16-time world champion. For me, like I said before, the match was so good. It was a basic standard match, nothing too crazy, obviously, but the fact that these guys can still, they could pump out four matches and all of them have been great is amazing. Now, out of 41 votes on the Twitter poll, 80% of you gave it four flames, 7% said three, 2% said two flames, and a sorry sack of people gave it one flame. Those are probably those John Cena haters, I guess you could say. But again, good match. Probably the best match, as I grab my other piece of paper here, probably the best match on the show. Now, that brings us to the 2017 Royal Rumble match. Now, if you think I'm going to go through every single name and list who came out and who are they eliminated by, you're crazy. That's insane to kind of keep up with that and try to jot that out. And if people do that, hey, more power to them, but that's not my thing. Obviously, it's the Royal Rumble, so you should probably go back and watch it anyway because it's the Royal Rumble. But I just basically want to give you guys the general gist of what I thought about the actual match. The Royal Rumble match. Wow. Oh, boy. Okay, for the actual match, there were no surprises. None. I mean, I guess you can consider the person coming in at number 30 a surprise, because it didn't even cross anyone's mind. Obviously, everyone, if they want to talk about something different, they're going to talk about Ty Dillinger. Ty Dillinger came in at number 10. So, obviously, we knew Ty Dillinger was going to show up eventually at some point in the Rumble. Obviously, it's number 10. Like, this was a predictable thing. It was good. It was great. He got a fantastic ovation. But, I mean, it's not like we didn't see it coming, you know? So, Ty Dillinger comes in at number 10. But other than that, no big major surprise. No former WWE employees, no Hall of Famers, no forgotten talent from yesteryear, none of that, nothing, zilch, nada. So that was a big, again, I said Ty Dillinger debuted in the Royal Rumble at number 10, Brock Lesnar came in, I believe he was 26th, Goldberg came in a little bit late as well, and The Undertaker came in, I believe, at number 29. Between those guys, Goldberg eliminates Brock Lesnar in quick fashion again. He basically hit Brock with the spear, then clotheslined him over the ropes. Brock goes down, he's pissed off, and he's red-faced, and wow. Okay, so what is going on with Brock Lesnar Goldberg? No one knows. Why is Goldberg handling his business so hastily when it comes to Brock Lesnar? No one knows. But it's very, very fascinating. Kind of funny. Kind of, this is what you, this is like, I can get it for the Survivor Series. Survivor Series, all that build up, and for that to happen in a minute and 36 seconds or whatever, I get that. Okay, it was cool that, you know, they built it up and that's what happened. But to do it again, this, and you built up the Royal Rumble, wow, this is the most stacked Royal Rumble we've had in history, but no surprises. So you basically considered the Royal Rumble a stacked Royal Rumble based on Brock, Goldberg, Taker, and a little bit of Strowman. There was some interesting back and forth between Harper and the Wyatts, or Bray Wyatt, rather. Everything looked to be squashed because, again, Bray Wyatt said that all three members will work as a unit in the Royal Rumble, but ultimately he would be winning the Royal Rumble. Well, that didn't happen. How can I explain it in a way that makes kind of sense? Luke kind of baited Bray Wyatt into believing that he was going to work with him and Randy, and he just turns around and hits him with a discus clothesline and takes out Randy Orton. That's the best way to explain it. But as I take a sip here. Yeah, so it's kind of, it didn't really further the idea that Harper is going to go on his own, or maybe that Harper was going to be a face or anything like that. But it was a visual that kind of got the crowd to be like, oh my god, that happened. As far as a cruiserweight, Jack Gallagher entered the Royal Rumble. He came out with his umbrella and used the umbrella as a prop. He had some funny interaction with Chris Jericho, who had a wonderful performance in the Rumble as well. Simply because anytime shit would go down in the Rumble, Jericho is nowhere to be found. Jericho was on the outside just biding his time. Smart. Very, very smart. But he and Jack Gallagher had a wonderful interaction, and with the umbrella, where Gallagher hit him below the belt and then opens the umbrella and kind of twirls it around while it's still in Jericho's junk, I guess you could say. Also, what I noted here, there wasn't a big thing from Kofi Kingston, who's been known to be the acrobat of the Royal Rumble. Nothing too crazy. There was a spot where he went to the top rope, and for a little bit of extra elevation, he kind of used that post on the turnbuckle that has like a platform. He was knocked off, and he kind of landed weird. Like, he landed parallel to the turnbuckle and kind of banged his head and kind of just stuck to it, which was kind of weird. Like, it was kind of okay. Like, his feet didn't hit the ground because his chin literally banged on that platform and saved him from getting eliminated. Not his best idea. Looked kind of painful. Could have knocked out a couple teeth if it went bad. But nothing really to wow. Other than that, there was no big moments in the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar, like I said, he gets dumped out by Goldberg again. He did kind of clean house. What else? Undertaker really did kind of clean house, especially with guys you wouldn't expect, like Sami Zayn and everything like that. But the big, big moment, and this will kind of coincide with everything else, was number 30. Now, it was weird for me because, being that there was a lot of talent already announced for the Rumble, and as the numbers kind of dwindled down, you can kind of pick out, especially now, you can kind of pick out, okay, this guy still hasn't come out, so there's this many spots left. Maybe this will be a surprise, but we know this person is coming out here, here, here. And this is what happened. Towards the end of the Rumble, there's less and less chances for a surprise. So I started getting nervous. I started putting it together. Okay, there's still no Brock at this point. There's still no Goldberg at this point, and there's still no Taker at this point. Those are three spots right there, and we're already in the early 20s. So this is kind of getting a little weird here. Okay, finally all those guys come out. Brock comes out. Goldberg comes out. Taker comes out. Boom. You know, there's one more person left. I can't put it really who I was thinking at the time, but we knew that, Dolph Ziggler came out a little bit later too, so that kind of eliminated him for, okay, how many spots are left for any surprises? Because, you know, these spots are going to be taken by main roster. What it boiled down to is there was basically one spot left where you knew it would be something that nobody was expecting, because all the big three were out there. Taker, Brock, Goldberg were already out there. Number 30 comes down. Last chance for a surprise, maybe a call-up from NXT, maybe an independent superstar that they know that doesn't really need to go through a feeder system, can go right up to the main roster, anything, anything. Number 30 hits, and who comes out? Roman Reigns. Think about that. Again, coming out at number 30 in the 2017 Royal Rumble, where we had no surprises, No Wow Moments, coming out at number 30, is Roman Reigns. And the reaction to that went exactly how you thought it would. The crowd just is in a frenzy. It's just, oh, wow, it was just bad. I had a couple friends over. We were in shock. We couldn't really figure out why or how, or it just didn't make sense. Roman Reigns? Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns. I guess the only silver lining to it is what's their explanation? That's what I want to find out. That's the only thing I'm curious about. What is the explanation behind giving Roman Reigns not only a spot in the Royal Rumble, you gave him a spot where everyone is expecting a surprise. They got one. That you gave him a surprise. You should have known they were going to hate, which they did. So you give Roman Reigns a spot in the Rumble, you give him a surprise spot, and you give him a spot in the Rumble after he didn't win the Universal title match against Kevin Owens. Now, sure, you say Braun Strowman interfered in that match. That's fine, but this was a no disqualification match. So to gripe that Braun Strowman interfered in the match is not good anyway. It wasn't a standard match. It was no disqualification. Braun Strowman was well within his rights to interfere in that match whether he wanted to or not. Now, if they would have said, you know, Braun Strowman came in and Roman Reigns came through the crowd and got Braun Strowman eliminated. Okay, cool. That would set up a very interesting storyline for Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. But no, they gave Roman Reigns a spot in the Rumble, a surprise spot, and I can't even tell if they thought this was a good idea. Somebody in the back and Vince and everybody in charge was like, man, if we really put Roman in this spot, the crowd will go crazy. You know, I don't know if that's what they're thinking. If that is their line of thinking, huh? Like, what evidence do you have that says the crowd would really be behind Roman Reigns if you gave him the spot? Now, mind you, I did say early in the show that Roman Reigns has really, really improved and does belong in a main event spotlight. I don't take that back. It's the simple fact that what's the logic of doing it now? Just because he's gotten better and he's improved and he does belong in that spotlight, this isn't how you go about it, you know, especially on a Royal Rumble that had no surprise entrance, not one. You can't say Ty Dillinger was a surprise entrance. You had to be stupid to not know he was going to be in the Royal Rumble at number 10. Hello? So I'm failing to see the logic. This move was so bad, it totally kind of detracts away from who actually won the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns didn't even win the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns was eliminated by The Undertaker. I'm baffled by it. Or no, Roman Reigns eliminated The Undertaker. Who eliminated Roman Reigns? Randy Orton did. So the final three came down to Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, and Roman Reigns. And this was after Randy Orton went RKO crazy and RKO'd everyone, including Sami Zayn coming in off the top rope. Great. Good, cool spot. But again, the fact that they gave Roman Reigns that 30 spot in the Royal Rumble, a Royal Rumble which he didn't even win, completely overshadows the fact that Randy Orton won the Royal Rumble. Now, speaking of Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble, I'm failing to see the logic in having Randy Orton win the Royal Rumble to get a main event spot at WrestleMania. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of what he's been doing with Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. I'm just interested in seeing how this plays about and how the decision to possibly put the world championship on Randy Orton would be good for the SmackDown brand, would be good for the WWE product, especially now that the belt is on John Cena. Now, keep in mind, 2 weeks from last night, 2 weeks coming up is Elimination Chamber. So there is actually an event for SmackDown, a pay-per-view event, that will feature a world title match. Not only that, there will be a total of 5 men in the match. So there's a very good chance that John Cena might not even walk out and walk into WrestleMania with the world championship. But still, Randy Orton? It's like John Cena. It's like, what does Randy Orton really have to prove? I'm not saying he's not deserving of being a top guy in the WWE. It's just, why? He doesn't really need to be. You're going good with Styles. You could have really elevated the brand and elevated the championship. Maybe if you would have kept it on Styles and had him move on to, say, Baron Corbin, who had a pretty good showing in the Royal Rumble. And that's who eliminated The Undertaker from the Royal Rumble, too, was Baron Corbin. Very, very interesting. You know, so it's like there were still other avenues and none of them really involved Randy Orton. But hey, I can't say I'm mad at that decision because, again, the decision that I'm kind of just not really understanding is, again, why give Roman Reigns a spot in the Royal Rumble because he already lost his Universal title match earlier in the show? Why give him a spot where people are expecting, especially it's your last chance to give him a surprise, and the surprise you give him is Roman Reigns? I get it, the guy's hated when he shouldn't really be hated, but if the guy's hated, why would you put him in a situation to be hated more? I'm so confused. So confused. And being that I'm so confused on a event that I am was looking forward to, was really buying into all the hype for, and they hyped the shit out of this thing. For it to fall on that really, really brought it down for me. And according to the people who voted on Twitter, they also agree with me as well, because here's how it broke down. Out of 44 votes, as my phone rings, out of 44 votes, here's how it broke down. 4 flame emojis, 11%, very weird. 18% said 3, 18% said 2, and a big doozy, the majority, 53% said 1 flame. And I kind of have to agree with that. So that's how the show closes, with Randy Orton celebrating winning the Royal Rumble. So let's see how you would grade the Royal Rumble pay-per-view overall on Twitter. Out of 56 votes, it went down like this. 13% gave it 4 flames, 29% gave it 3 flames, 27 gave it 2, and 31 gave it 1 flame emoji. Obviously, that probably has a lot to do with the Royal Rumble match itself, which is very odd because the Royal Rumble was great up until the Royal Rumble. So, I don't think that's kind of what the goal was, or I'm just failing to see the goal. And, you know, again, I'm just kind of flabbergasted. Flabbergasted as to why the Royal Rumble went down that way. But we do have a couple responses, a little bit of feedback on the Royal Rumble on Twitter. This comes from at WWECFC, who says that they were disappointed in there being no good surprise factor. Obviously, that's something I said, so I agree. And no returns or Hall of Famers. Loved Cena versus AJ, though. I completely agree wholeheartedly. My good friend Mike, who you can follow on Twitter, at Mike_W_Simpson, said, like both men's championship matches, nice to see Ty in the Rumble. no idea what they're doing with Brock. Reigns should have jammed Braun rather than being in the Rumble match. Exactly like what I said earlier. Surprising winner in Orton. I have to agree with that. Again, I told you guys what MLJ thought of the AJ Styles John Cena match. And he also said about the event overall, he said it was one of the best WWE events I have ever been to easily. And this is the guy who's been to a lot of WWE events. And so for him to say it was one of the best one he's been to, hey, I don't discredit him. And I, you know, being there live is probably a way different feeling than sitting at home maybe with friends or by yourself watching the pay-per-view. So I'm pretty sure he probably had a great time. Royal Rumble weekend being that it's one of the big four pay-per-views, there's a lot of things going on in other aspects of wrestling, plus NXT, so it was a good gathering with a lot of people. So hey, I'm glad that he enjoyed it, I'm glad he had fun. And my friend Josh, who was here last night, who you can follow on Twitter, at JD527, just simply said, why though? That's literally my question about the Rumble. And he was here, in my house, and we watched it together. And we both had the same sort of reaction. It's just, why? Like, why? And another thing too, if you include the pre-show, which obviously I didn't watch, but I had plans to watch, it was a total of 6 hours of WWE wrestling. And this is for a promotion that has what many would say an oversaturation of content on a weekly basis. 6 hours. 6 hours for Roman Reigns to be number 30 in the Royal Rumble, not even win the Royal Rumble, and Randy Orton win the Royal Rumble, and nobody understands why. So if that's your idea of a surprise for the Royal Rumble, Mr. McMahon, sir, with all due respect, let's scale it back a bit, alright? Let's bring it back a bit. Let's maybe bring it back to maybe 4.5, you know, with a 30-minute pre-show. You know, we don't really need a match that nobody's going to care about on the pre-show anyway. You did a good job trying to make us care, but nobody really cares about the pre-show anyway. But again, that's my full feedback on the Royal Rumble, a full recap of everything match by match. Thank you guys for sending in your feedback as well so I could voice it on the podcast here and have a little bit of content to deliver to you guys. So again, thank you. I'm glad some of you, hopefully you guys at least enjoyed the Royal Rumble before the match, enjoyed what was going on. So Raw is going to be very, very interesting. So again, thank you very much. And that will conclude the recap of the Royal Rumble. Now, to get a little bit of social media plug in here while I take a sip. Social media. I'm on social media a lot. Obviously, my go-to social media app is the Twitter. So you can, or as my mom likes to call it, the Tweeter. She doesn't understand why Donald Trump is addicted to the Tweeter and why he has to put everything on the Tweeter. So shout out to Mom Dukes and the Tweeter. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so. My handle is at WrestlingChron, C-H-R-O-N, on the Twitter. That's where you get up-to-the-minute sort of updates on what I'm doing and my thoughts on wrestling. And if you want to interact with me, I try to interact with everyone I can. I'm not one of those people where you send me something. Unless I don't understand what you're talking about, I'll give you some sort of response. So if you want to talk to me, if you want to reach out, give me your feedback on the show, have a question for me, have an opinion on anything wrestling related, WWE or anything outside of wrestling. I do watch other wrestling besides WWE, by the way, which I'll be getting into more on, you know, future shows from now. Obviously, I'm still jumping into the podcast game and kind of, you know, being the Royal Rumble and being an important show, obviously, it's going to dominate the content that I put on the show. But not everything will be just WWE related. Obviously, if you're a fan of the show, you know I do a lot of other stuff with independent wrestling, so that stuff will make its return to the show in due time when I have some content for it, and also, you know, New Japan and things of that nature. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, do so at WrestlingChron, C-H-R-O-N. I'm also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/The Wrestling Chronicle, you can hit a like, and that'll keep you up to date with anything that's posted on the website, plus little bits and pieces here of different things wrestling related. But also, if you want to reach out to me there, you can simply do so. If you want to have something to be voiced on the podcast, you can do so there. I'm also on the Instagram. Username is the Wrestling Chronicle. There I post stuff on there, not too much, but you know, I'm on there every once in a while on the Instagram. I'm also on the Tumblr. TheWrestlingChronicle.tumblr.com is where I post links. Sometimes if I'm bored, I'll scroll through the wrestling tag and post some neat things there. All those things you can find me on if you have any questions, questions that need to be on the show, questions about me, questions about the website. Anything you want to do there, you can reach me on those social media avenues. If you need it to be a little bit more private or you need an immediate response, you can reach me via email at piledriver, pod, or the email address is piledriverpod@gmail.com. Again, that's piledriverpod, all one word, @gmail.com. If you have any questions about the show, comments, if you like the show, you hate the show, you think I suck, you hate my voice, don't worry, I hate my voice too. But you can all tell me that privately via email, and I'll get you some sort of response. But again, go ahead and do that. Also, if you want to help out the show, help me out with paying the bills for hosting the website, my time, anything like that. I'm not asking you to. I understand, you know, money is precious right now. But if you enjoy the content that I put out and you would like to show your appreciation and making sure that I continue to put out content, the easiest way to do so is using Amazon. Now, Amazon, a lot of people go on there to shop online. So here's what you do. All you have to do is go to bit.ly/AmazonTWC. It's just a short link that makes it easier to get to the page. And basically what it is just a page that takes you to the regular Amazon. It doesn't affect your shopping in any way, shape, or form. It's just using that link shows that I referred you to Amazon, so you can do your shopping just as normal. And what happens is, because I referred you using that link, I get a little bit back, a couple cents here and there. Again, if you don't want to use the link, that's fine. But if you want to help me out, the easiest way to do so, everybody uses Amazon. So if you go on Amazon.com, just instead of going to Amazon.com, go to bit.ly/AmazonTWC. Do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra, and I get a little kickback. So that's a great help to me. So again, hit me up on those social media networks for anything. I'll be back probably Wednesday with a wrap-up of what went down on Raw, SmackDown Live, and any news or rumors that came about in the wrestling world. Maybe talk about some independent wrestling. But if you have any ideas that you want to come see to fruition with the show, hey, send in your ideas. Ask me something. Say, hey, what are your thoughts about this? Whether it's current wrestling, wrestling from the past, I watch it all, send me some links, whatever. I'll do it for you right here on the show. Again, thanks for listening. Hopefully it's easier for you guys to listen to my voice again. This is the Royal Rumble recap for 2017 on the Piledriver Podcast. My name's Eric Vasquez. You have a good night.